Victor would even talk about that. He didn't know what I was going to preach, but you got my title up there? Go ahead. It's fine. There you go. Sometimes we don't listen to God. No pun intended. I had no idea. Someone says we talk all week. I don't talk to this man. I had no idea he was going through that. I had no idea that he had to face that or what he faced this week. And so we sometimes we don't listen and sometimes we limit God. Someone say that. Say sometimes we don't listen and we definitely limit God. And the only limits God is what we put on him. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, we have some big changes coming to the ministry, and Victor's absolutely right. TLWC is not going away. It's just going to be a transition. We are, without saying too much, but we are in talks with another location. I say in talks because I'm going to look at the building next week. That's as much as I want to say. Amen? But through everything, we have to learn. Someone say we have to learn not to put restrictions. Come on, somebody, on God. And God is not waiting to bless you. God is waiting to see if you can receive the blessing. I mean, I know the Bible says his promises are yes and amen. You know, we walk around thinking, I don't know if God can bless me. It's not if God can bless you. It's when God can bless you. Come on, somebody. That's why we have to always walk in the fulfillment of what he's called us to do. Come on, somebody. And so I was praying this week, and I'm slowly but surely getting my strength back little by little. There are some nights that I still have some concerns, but changing diet and not eating so late and doing some other things, but I'm taking it slow. Amen. But I thought about, why do we, talking about his people, why do we limit God? Why do we put limits on a God who is limitless? Come on, someone say that. Say limitless. There's nothing he can't do. God is faithful. And so I was looking at a scripture, and I thought about this scripture. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples, look at this church, someone say, followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, all of this leads up to the fact that Jesus had done some miracles before, but now all of a sudden it's being manifested, and the Bible says, is this not the carpenter? They knew him as Joseph's son. Is this not merely the carpenter's son, the one who built things and everything? But see, they were looking at who he was, not whose he was. Okay? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Hoses and Judas and Simon and all the sisters? They were offended. They said, how can this man be the same person that's a mere carpenter? I want you to understand, God can use who he wants to use. Say that with me, church. Say, God can use who he wants to use. Someone say, even me. Talking about yourself. I'm telling you, it's crazy. He didn't know what I was going to preach. I didn't know he disobeyed God. And yes, I will get after Elder Vic. He disobeyed God. He did. Oh, Pastor. No, he absolutely disobeyed God. What did you say, Vic? Good luck? Instead of let me pray for you? I'm glad Holy Ghost hit Victor. Because it wasn't the fact that that man was wondering about his load, because if it was just a conversation about a load, that's all it would have been. But the man answered and said to Vic, I need to get home because my son needs help. God put it on that man's heart to reach out. He didn't know anything about Elder Vic. Didn't know he was an elder. Didn't know he was a preacher. Just knew that he was another truck driver for his company. But yet, God opens up doors of opportunity of ministry, and we fail to realize that it's not about the truck. Excuse me. It was about what, Vic? It was about not limiting God. Come on, somebody. And here we are in the text looking at what Jesus can do and about to do, and everybody just looks at him as the son of Mary, not who he is. See, that man wasn't looking at Victor just as a truck driver. He was drawn. Come on, somebody. Someone say he was drawn to him. If I be lifted up, the Bible says, come on, I'll draw all men unto me. And then after that, he has another encounter. And what was the second encounter, Vic? And then what did he say to you besides thank you for being a truck driver? I would call that confirmation. Because see, the text says, is this not merely the carpenter? The son of Mary and brother of James and Hoses and Judas. And he's nobody. And here it is. See, they were offended by him. But Jesus, look at this. I'm going to say, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and his own house. In other words, people don't look at you the way they should when you're in God, because it can't be the Hellraiser Victor trying to preach. It can't be the womanizer Victor trying to be a man of God now. Come on, somebody. See, what you have to understand is when you go into a new life with God, you can't put limits on what he wants you to be used by. See, Victor is beginning to realize out there on the road, he has a ministry to these truckers. He has to be a witness and a testimony to what God has done in his life. Not the fact he's just a truck driver, it's the fact that God wants to use him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home country, among his own relatives, and among his own house. Let me tell you something. The people that are going to doubt you the most are the ones that are closest to you. Someone say, amen. The people that are going to say that you can't change are the ones that see you every day. Listen to me. I stubbed my toe. I don't think it's good. People have a tendency to look at your imperfections instead of the perfection he has in you. Come on, somebody. People have a tendency to look that you still make mistakes. Listen to me. I put on my pants like you every day, one leg at a time. But it doesn't make me any less of a man of God in him, even though I make mistakes. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, a prophet, watch this. A prophet is not without what? Except in his own hometown, but look what he says. Now he could do no mighty work there. Couldn't do anything, Vic. Was it because he was anointed? Nope. Was it because he didn't have the power of God on him? Nope. Because when you get around haters and people who don't believe, someone say it hinders the work of God. When you get around people who all they can do is murmur and complain, come on, somebody, and talk about what you ain't, it has a tendency of hindering the miracles of God. The Bible says, now he could do no mighty work there because they don't believe. This man is Pastor Mike. If you knew how he was outside the church, I'm the same person outside the church. I've calmed down a lot because of my condition, but I'm still who I am out there. Come on, somebody. But here's what it says. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In other words, it wasn't that the power of God had left Jesus. It's the fact that the hindering spirits, let me tell you something, there are hindering spirits among us. Okay, Bonita. I normally do not turn my phone on during service, but I got to show you something. So last night, my house, I was alone. Josh was out doing what he does, walking or whatever. And I was sitting there, just got done cleaning the house and was watching football. And all of a sudden, my babies went crazy. And I thought, what is that all about? All of a sudden, I pull up the camera. What do you see? You have to look with your spiritual eyes. What do you see? That's right. Tell me, please. Is Pastor Mike making it up? It's a Grim Reaper. You see the face? You see the cape? You see the... come on, Victor. Let me show the camera. Let me show the camera. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Okay. The spirit of death. It's the spirit of death. At my door. Come on, somebody. I had to show y'all, I'm not crazy. Spirits are real. I didn't get scared. I began to rebuke it over my house, rebuke it over my life. But there is a spiritual battle that is going on that's trying to take me out. But I claim today that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And so we have to understand that Satan, watch this, church. Let me shut this back off so it won't go off. I don't know if the camera got to see it, but it's not crazy. It's real. If you look at it, it's actually right outside my door. But the dogs heard something. So I immediately turned the camera on. And that's what came up on the camera. Now, some people who are in the world might say, Pastor Mike, you're reading into something. That's a reflection of the truck. And I said, okay, if that's the case, then I got up, went outside, and the thing was not there. Then I went back to the camera, and it was gone. The light hadn't changed glow. Come on, somebody. It was the same darkness as it was. I go out there and all of a sudden, I don't see nothing. Then I go back in the house and turn the camera back on. And guess what? The thing is gone. Now, some people who are not in the spirit. See, that's why I say you got to look at things in the spirit. Because whether you want to believe it or not, that's why he couldn't do no miracles. Because that spirit of depression and that spirit of doubt wouldn't allow the spirit of God to move. Come on, somebody. To heal or to have. See, the enemy wants to send you diversions and distractions to keep you from doing the will of God. Come on, somebody. See, let me tell you something. Satan don't just want to get you out of church. He wants to get you out of the belief in God. The first step is to keep you away from church because that's your protection. Come on, somebody. But Jesus said, the text says now he could do no miracle work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and someone say and healed them. Someone say, this is good stuff. And he marveled, watch this. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit teaching. He marveled because he said, here's what he said, how do y'all not believe who I am that sent me? Come on, somebody. And he went about, someone say he went about, teaching and preaching in the village. You see, the enemy tried to take me out 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. But I have decided that I'm going to get physically healthy, spiritually healthy. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to continue on the task, watch this, church, someone say, that God has for me. If you're having an attack on your family right now, it's because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Someone say, don't limit God. Now, I asked myself a question as I went to bed last night. I kind of knew an attack was coming, because after I saw that, I kind of knew that I was going to have a rough night. I got up a couple times. I was okay. But it's because the enemy don't stop, y'all. Come on, somebody. He's not going to stop until he wins what he wants. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says resist the devil. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. We blame God for everything else but the truth. Someone say, watch this. If you go out and do something wrong and something bad happens because you're doing something wrong, you can't blame the devil, it's you. You can't blame God or the devil for a decision that you make and the result of your actions. Let me say that again, church. Your actions have consequences. Someone say, my actions have consequences. And we have to determine, watch this, what those actions will be. Watch this, verse Mark 40 and 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it, here it is, church, someone say, how is it that you have no faith? He said, you see, we see in our story today that the blessings of God was hindered by doubt. I'm going to say the blessings of God are hindered by doubt. God is limitless, but we put limits on God. Let me say that. God is limitless, say that. But we put limits on God. It's almost like we play a game with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. God, if you do this, I'll do this. God wants you to do one thing, worship him in spirit and in truth, and worship him every chance that you get. Come on, somebody. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you, someone say, how is it that you have no faith? We will find ourselves having faith in things instead of faith of a God that created the things. Watch this. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Or is this not the carpenter? How can this be a miracle worker? You see, the problem is we put limits on God and who we think God can be used by. Come on, somebody. Victor had the opportunity, I'm glad he obeyed God, but Elder Vic had the opportunity to prove to God, watch this. This was not about him pleasing that man, Anna. He had to prove himself to God. God gave him an opportunity to show God, Victor, if you love me. Jesus was walking on the beach with Peter. He said, do you love me, Peter? He said, I love you, Lord. Ain't that what he said, Ron? He said, then feed my sheep. They walked a little bit further. Jesus looked at Peter again. He said, but Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. I'll go with you anywhere. He said, then feed my sheep. You see, we can say that we love God in our hearts, but baby, actions speak louder than words. Come on, somebody. You can talk a big game. Oh, I got this. I'm going to do this. But when faced with the opportunity of letting people know who you are and whom you are, you will fail that test if you are embarrassed. I don't think Vic was embarrassed. I think he was focused on worried about getting down the road. I'm going to tell you the truth. I know doggone well he wasn't embarrassed that he's a believer, but his focus was on making money. Let's call it what it is. Say amen, Brother Vic. Because he said, I don't want to talk to nobody because if I stop, it's going to cost me time, and time is money. Let me share something with you, okay? I was out of work for a week. 8 days, okay? Somebody said, the grace of God, they allowed me to work from home and do my Relias training and my online classes. Well, then I went back to work this past Monday, and I got to see about 12, 15, 17, 18 patients the whole week. Sometimes that's 2 days for Pastor Mike. I turned into an Elder Ron last week. 18 patients for the whole week, no pun intended, but I'm saying that's okay. But then I didn't realize this because I'm already kind of full-time with my main company. They paid me 8 hours for Thanksgiving. It's a holiday pay. Because I'd put my time in, and my director emailed me. She said, hey, you didn't put in the timesheet. It's not timesheet, but it's an app. Said, you didn't put in your holiday pay. And I said, oh, I don't know. Pastor Mike, you've been 2 years with CARE. You're already part-time, not full-time, but you are entitled to a holiday pay. So it's 8 hours free at what I make per hour. Amen, right? And plus, I had quite a few visits back. So God's already watched this. Let me tell you something about God. If you lose something for his cause, he'll repay it. Come on, somebody. Hold on, that's a word right there. Come on, somebody. If you lose something for his cause, he'll find a way to bring it back. If not better. But here's where we struggle. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Let me tell you what happens. Watch this. Mark 40 and 41. And they feared what? Exceedingly. And said one to another, who can this be? Who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the healing. But now they're in the boat with him. And they were scared and afraid to die from the ocean. And Jesus was sleeping in the stern. And he woke up and he said, what's wrong with y'all? And then he caused the wind and the storm to stop. And they spoke these words. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why do we find it so hard for a miracle to believe for somebody else, but we can't believe a miracle for ourselves? That's right. Did y'all hear what Angie said? Sometimes it makes it look like an impossible situation. That way man don't get the glory. Come on, somebody. That way man can't say that I did it. Come on. There's times in my life, church watches and those online, there's times in my life that I know that it's God. Come on, somebody. Watch this. My first life note is this. Someone say the consequences. They paid a price for their unbelief. The power of God is locked up when you have unbelief. Someone say the power of God is locked up when you have unbelief. It wasn't the fact that God can't do a miracle in your life. I don't know who's online this morning, but you've been praying about something right now, and you're asking, you're asking God why hasn't happened yet. God said, you're putting your efforts into something else instead of me. You're putting your efforts and your on everything into something else but me. You want healing and change in your life, you have to be willing to forsake all for his cause. Come on, somebody. They paid a price for their unbelief. Watch this. The power, someone say, the power of God is locked up when you don't believe. You know what's crazy? Is that we'll go over and we'll go over to a light switch and hit the switch and it shuts off, right? And all of a sudden we hit it on again, it turns on, right? We don't think twice about it, right? But what happens if you go over and hit that switch, Vic, and you didn't pay that bill? Or maybe there's a circuit broke. Or maybe there's a switch broke. It won't turn on. And then you're sitting there in the dark. But what you don't understand is, before I hit that switch, the power was already there. I don't think they got that, Vic. The power is already in the switch. That switch, Benita, didn't know I was going to go over and shut it off. That switch has no mind. It has no brain. It has no mouth. It has no eyes. So it can't see me walk into it and say, okay, I got to get ready to shut off because Pastor Mike's coming to shut me off. It doesn't. Someone say the power is already there. But it's the switch. Come on, somebody. It's the switch that activates. Come on, somebody. The power. Come on, somebody. And if the switch is broke, y'all get where I'm going with this? The power of God is always present in your life, but the reason why things ain't happening, because maybe you have a broken switch. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's not the problem with God, but maybe it's the problem with you. Because you're focused on everything else in your life except for when you need God. Listen to me. God will allow you to go through some things not because he don't love you, but because you refuse to listen to him. So Victor, shut off the power. Don't mean to bring you out, brother, but he shut the power off. Good luck. That man didn't need luck. That man needed prayer. The power of prayer is what it is to change lives. Why did he feel so comfortable to tell Victor that? Did you know him before? Perfect stranger. Why would a perfect stranger feel comfortable with telling you about his personal situation with his son? Because you know why? God allowed that man to see Victor's light. Church, don't allow unbelief in your life to limit God. I know you're busy. It was a Thanksgiving weekend. I had family here and watched football all week, and I'm tired, and you know, I ain't got time for church. You have time for everything else in your life, but why is church last? You need to learn to make time for God. Victor did that, and it blessed him. Come on, somebody. Someone say the price for locking up God's power is being disobedient. Watch this. God himself is limitless. Once again, let's go back to my illustration. Somebody else jump up and go shut that switch off. All right, turn it back on. Thank you, Vic. Same scenario, different person. Okay? Victor had the power in his hands to hit the switch. I don't think you're getting what I'm telling you. The power's already in the box. Someone say the power is already there. But somebody has to hit that switch. See, the problem with most of us, we are not hitting the switch of God. We're going through life, paying bills, worried about more money, more money, more money. So I can get bigger houses, better cars. I was driving home Friday afternoon from my last visit. I was rolling through Grand Prairie on I-20 heading to Arlington to my house. And the exit to the outlet mall was backed up all the way to Greater Southwest and around Greater Southwest. In other words, people were waiting to shop Black Friday. And people were sitting in their cars, because I went back out a little bit later into the store, and that line was still long. And it was crazy, because I went home for an hour and a half or so, let the dogs out and stuff, came back. And some of those cars I saw an hour and a half earlier, they're still sitting in that line, Vic. To go to a store to spend money because they're worried about making someone happy for Christmas. But here we are Sunday morning. There ain't no line outside the church for parking. Come on, somebody. Well, our priorities are wrong, church. You take time for God, and He'll give you the time you need for something else. That's why I tell people all the time, when you bless God, He has no choice but to bless you. But the problem is, we struggle with trusting God, like I said in my text. We have a problem, or we have an issue, church, with what? Trusting God, or limiting God. Watch this. The second consequence. Not only is the power locked up, but the blessing is limited. Someone say the blessing is limited. I don't want to just be blessed, Vic. I want to be blessed. Come on, somebody. See, let me tell you the difference between a blessing and being blessed. A blessing only lasts one time. But being blessed is a lifestyle. A blessing is, I found out how to pay all my bills this month. That's a blessing. But being blessed is, next month I don't even have to worry about it because I already got the money to pay my bills. Come on, somebody. I don't want to live in blessings. I want to live in being blessed. Come on, somebody. Because a blessing only lasts a short time. But being blessed, someone say being blessed, is a lifestyle. Our church, watch this church, we need to change the way we think. I don't want my church just to be a blessing. I want my church to be blessed. How do we get blessed? By giving, or with our time, our money, what else? Our hearts, our faith. Someone say, when the power of God is locked up, not only does it limit, watch this, the power of God to move, but it limits the blessings in your life. Okay? How many of y'all have ever done something, didn't expect nothing in return, but God showed up and did something anyways? Come on, somebody. You do something because you're led to do it, because God is limitless. Now watch this. Here's what I want you to understand. The power of God is locked up when you limit God and you doubt God, but watch this. I don't want you, someone say this, I didn't put it on the board, but someone said, I don't want you to limit God because of your unbelief. We're in a very delicate situation in this ministry right now. I'm going to look at a building next week that needs a whole lot of remodel. Right or wrong, Benita? And so the guy called me the other day. He said, well, what do you think you will need to get your church up and running? He said, well, let's go check it out. We could probably get a allowance from the owner if you decide to sign a longer lease and we'll get everything fixed. He don't know anything about us, but he's already planning on. Come on, somebody. Let's not worry about if we can afford it. Let's just get it and let God pay for it. Come on, somebody. Oh, Pastor. No, listen to me. There's enough people in this church right now financially that can help us get in that building. The people in, not even online, in this church right now. Okay? So I'm going to go in faith. So I'm going to say go in faith and give them our financials and say this is what we got. We're trusting God. Because guess what, church? If God wants us in there, He'll put us there. regardless of what man thinks. But there's one thing I do know. Someone say, what is that, Pastor? I know he don't want us here. I'm telling you right now, I know he don't want us here. Because we have to start the year new. Come on, somebody. And we have to get out of the old. Come on, somebody. You don't know what God has planned for us in that area. It's surrounded by houses. It's surrounded by apartments and businesses. Here, nobody knows we're here because we're secluded. We're like a little. But over there, we're front and center on Carrier Parkway. We put a sign out there. Everyone's going to see the sign. So yes, am I going to ask for financial help from this church? We got to get a sign out front. There's some financial things we have to pay for, and we're going to sow some seeds. Come on, somebody. Because seeds turn into souls. Come on, somebody. Someone say, seeds turn into souls. You have not, because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. You can go spend money at the outlet mall. Making a list, checking it twice. Going to find out who's been naughty or nice. Part of that. That's what I'm saying. Someone say the blessing is limited by unbelief. It's not the fact that God won't bless you. It's the fact how much are you believing God for. Don't limit God. Watch this. There you go. Watch this, church. Someone say your faith must be nurtured and watered. You see, unless you nurture and water your faith, it will stay the same and it will have no growth. You can do anything and everything God wants you to do as long as you trust in Him. Look at this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works, someone say greater works, than these he will do because what? Go to my Father. Listen to me. Victor was in that truck stop. Was it a truck stop? He's in that truck stop. God looked down over heaven and said, son, I'm going to test you. Or give you a test. Not test you, but give you a test. He said, I need you, Victor, to hear the words that the man is speaking to you. How do you get these loads? Because I need to be home with my son. That was a door for, and I am so blessed that my elder had enough conviction to get back in that truck and not worry about the time or money and obey God. Because you know why? God had a blessing set up for Victor. When we obey God, someone say, when we obey God, he has a blessing set up for you. I will tell you, those that are here now and going into the next chapter of TLWC, if you will obey God and do what he tells you to do, you will never want again. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. If you obey his word and you go on this next chapter with us, you will never be without. That's what God told me. Because, watch this. He said, I'm going to where? To the Father. Because I go to my Father. Someone say, I go to my Father. You see? And whatever you ask, someone say, whatever you ask. It doesn't matter. As I get to the end of this thing, whatever you ask, it doesn't matter. A new building, a new house, a new car, a new job, whatever you ask in my name. Calm down, Pastor Mike. Whatever you ask in my name. Look what he says, Glow. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. It doesn't matter what it is. See, Victor understood the principle of obedience. He understood the principle of conviction. I'm not mad that my elder didn't obey first. That's fine. At least conviction came in. What would have been a problem is Victor would have gotten that truck and went down the road, and then he'd have heard down the road that something happened to that son. Do you understand that Victor blocks that attack? You can block Satan's attack by your prayers. You can cancel assignments by your prayers. My God, I feel good right now, Elder Ron. You can cancel every assignment of the enemy on your life when you pray over that thing and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. You have to rebuke that thing over your life. And so when I saw that image yesterday outside of my house, I immediately went to the Lord and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind up that spirit over my house in Jesus' name. Because why? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father, watch this church, someone say that the Father may be glorified. Someone say in the Son. The final verse for today is this. Read that, Elder Ron. What? If you what? I'll do it. What do you mean we'll do it? Better job, got you. More money, got you. New building, got you. New house, got you. Total healing, restoration, got you. Total deliverance in your house. I got you. Come on, somebody. Anything, nothing is too difficult for God, but it's when we limit him that he can't do it. He said, I want you to be faithful over my house and over me. If you'll be faithful over that, then you and your house shall be saved. Come on, somebody. You have to believe, and you have to tell that demon in your house, get out. You ain't welcome here, because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give him a praise offering right now, church. We will serve the Lord. You have the authority to bind and rebuke anything. When I saw that image, I'm excited now, hallelujah. When I saw that image on my camera and I went outside and there was nothing there and I came back and it was gone, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. I immediately began to rebuke the devil over my life. Y'all may think I'm crazy. You saw the image glow. You saw the image, guys. What did you see, Vic? That's right. And people will chalk it up to, oh, it's the way the lights was. Or it's that. Y'all, you can't fake that. Come on. God was allowing me to see into the spirit realm. But you know why I couldn't come in? Because I got a cross above my door. When you walk in my house, there's a cross in that door, and there's a cross going in my office. And guess what? You can try to knock, but you ain't coming. Come on, somebody. I began to tell Jesus, thank you for healing, thank you for deliverance, and thank you for binding and rebuking the devil over my life. Darkness cannot be where light is. Someone say, if you ask anything. Someone say, in my name. I will do it. Watch this. I didn't put on the board, but I wrote this down for a side note. It's not the fact, can we trust God? It's the fact, well, are we willing to let go of ourselves? The hardest thing to do is trust him. And we don't trust him. We don't trust him with our finances. We don't trust him with our lives. We don't trust him with the things that we're asking God for. Listen to me. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting things to change. When we leave this place in a couple months, about a month actually, in our new place, there's going to be some things different. There's going to be some change. We're going to evangelize. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to let people know we're there. I didn't say it. Vic said it. Vic's the one that started this. So he has to do it. But if you ask anything, watch this, church, if you ask anything in my name, someone say, I'll do it. You see, I don't want to bring this up, but I think you I should. You're only limited by what you believe. You see, someone say, I'm only limited by what I believe. You can quote scriptures all day, but if you don't live them, it's worth nothing. You can say, I'll get better in time, but if you don't change, nothing's going to change. I'm sorry only goes so far. Come on, somebody. If you really care about the life that God has for you, you need to be real with Him and say, I have a problem. I had a problem. My problem was eating. My problem was working 13, 14, 15 hours a day, going through the drive-thru, shoving food down my throat. Come on, somebody. I swelled to 295 pounds. Today I'm down to 278. Come on, somebody. Everybody and their brother, Pastor Mike, you got to change your diet. No, I'm good. Nothing will ever happen to me until I'm laying on my back in the city, medical city of Arlington, fighting for my life, crying out to God, God, please don't let me die. Please save me. And that stupid commercial came in my mind. Can you hear me now? You can only turn that wheel so many times. This is crazy. I should have did the illustration, but y'all get it. When I was growing up, we used to play a game called the Game of Life. You had to spin the thing to see how many times you would get in. Oh no, you had a baby. Oh no, you went bankrupt. Oh no, you got a new business. And the goal was to get to the end of your life and retire in a nice place, have plenty of money. Several times when I played that game, I ended up in a nursing home. Broke, busted, and disgusted. I said, God, I don't want my life to turn out like that. But you notice when you play that game, y'all, you have to spin that dial and you never know where it's going to end up and land. Guys, life is not like that. Don't gamble with God. Don't spin that wheel and just to see where you're going to end up. Know that you know that you know that you're in life with God. Come on, somebody. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Someone say, life is not a game. You have to live every day according to His will. And yes, temptation is there. Temptation is there to take us out. Guess what? He don't want to take you out. He wants to take what you're attached to. If the enemy takes him out, look at the generations behind him he's got. I'm talking about Elder Vic. Ron, you're an elder in this church. If the enemy takes you out, look who you got behind you that needs to be saved. Come on, somebody. Your decisions have a lasting impression on the person that's coming up behind you. Come on, somebody. The reason why these two wonderful people of God are in this church today, not because of me, but because God, but also I never gave up on them. Every Friday. See you Sunday. Go back next week for the game. Missed you on Sunday. Well, PM, you know we had this. That's okay, I'll see you Sunday. How many years did I do that for, Vic? 15 years. I asked them to come to church. Never stopped. But you know what? I was always a friend to them. Did I ever judge you? I was a friend to them. People watch this, church. People can see what's real and fake. I don't have to wear a suit to be real. Someone say, this church is real. And we don't expect you to come here perfect. We expect you to come here to get a word so your life can be better. Come on, somebody. We expect you to come to have an encounter with Jesus, and then you can be productive in society. And the vision for this church is now switched directions. It's going to be even bigger than the original vision. I still believe that God's called me to this city, and I ain't going anywhere. I might have got sidetracked. I had a setback for a setup for a blessing from God. Come on, somebody. But just do me a favor as we close. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Because when you limit God, you are selling yourself short on what He has for you. And don't worry about the mistakes that you made. Take your burden to the Lord. Someone say, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He is faithful. My last word. Today, God wants to bless you not with limits, not with unbelief, and not with not getting what you want. He wants to bless you right now, where you are. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. I don't know if anybody saw my post on Facebook that I have a lot to be thankful for this year. In about 3 weeks, three and a half weeks, we'll celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then we'll cross over to a new year. Do me a favor, church. Next time the enemy comes with that temptation, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a blunt, whether it's prescription drugs, whatever it is, it's whatever takes you out of your walk with God, you can overcome that. You can overcome the power of darkness over your life just by believing that God can and God will. Someone say this with me. Say, Lord, help me not to limit you. Help me in my weakness. Help me to overcome temptation. Help me to overcome my own hindrances. Help me to be better for you. And help me, Lord, to let my light shine, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. If you believe it this morning, give him a praise offering right now. If you believe it this morning, amen. Elder Ron, if you'll come and close us out. Did y'all receive a word today?